When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pate.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples, the ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grania. How are we?
I'm very excited. We've got our first... Well, no, this is our second live.
There's just so many these days, guys. We just lose track. We're always on the road. Forget what my old bed feels like. You know, this touring life. It's a nightmare.
The groupies. The podcast groupies. Nobody warns you about that.
Do you know what? I'm just... I have to go to one more after party and sign one more autograph. I'm getting RSI. It's too much. I can't deal with it.
So we did our live show recently, and this was one of the first guests that we had on that magical night.
Magical doubleheader night.
Magical doubleheader night. she is so, I hate to objectify her, but just so beautiful, so funny, just a catch. There you go.
She was
a catch. I would describe her as an all-round catch. And not only is she personally a catch, but she picked a great couple.
Oh my
well.
God, this couple. And she kind of dressed the part as well. She was wearing this gorgeous like vest top. It was very Kate Moss. This was a great couple, great choice. One of my favorite episodes. I absolutely loved it. Great start to our live show, doubleheader. We loved it.
Get ready to treat yourself to a shot in the arm.
Nice. That's a good one, Grania. That's one of my favorites.
Thank you. Of nostalgia with the fabulous Alexandra Hadow.
The way they were.
So can you please give a big round of applause for first guest, the incredible Alexandra Hadow!
Hello, Alex! Thank you!
Hello!
Hello! We're a very romantic podcast. Do you consider yourself, are you romantic?
Oh yeah, definitely. I will put up with no romance, but if it's there, like the bar is low. Do you know what I mean? But I am, it can go as high as possible for me. Do you know what I mean?
What is your idea of like romance? What could somebody do that would win you over? What would that mean to you?
Maybe a mixtape. I think that's the peak of romance.
Do you need to explain to people?
Oh yeah, sorry. Before Spotify, and it can't be a playlist. That's not as romantic. It has to be a physical thing.
Can it be a CD at least?
Yes, it can be a CD. Yeah, my current boyfriend made me a CD.
Oh.
With like loads of songs on it, and then wrote out the track list.
So you guys got together in the 90s, yeah?
Yes, exactly, yeah. We've been together since I was three. And that makes him sound a lot older. He's not. It's fine. It's all above board. Yeah, but I feel like it has to be a physical thing, because that's the effort involved, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, rather than just like add to playlist. That's not as romantic.
Download here.
Yeah, exactly.
Send someone a QR link. If any gift involves a QR link, you're not getting laid that night.
Absolutely, no. Pants are staying on, yeah, with a QR link. But, you know, physical object, gone.
And what
I brought the tone down within 90 seconds, so sorry.
And that's how consent works. Yeah.
And what is your love language? So how are you romantic? Have you ever made somebody a mixtape, or how do you go about it?
Well, it was my boyfriend's birthday at the weekend, and I wrote him like a really nice card, you know, I do a big funny letter in a birthday card, because I feel like there's no point in cards if you're just like, dear so-and-so, happy birthday, love Alex. Like, bin it and save £4. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I write letters every now and then. That's a nice, I feel like that's something to like be physical as well, isn't it? Like a thing that you can read when you're feeling a bit shit. But I did buy him some nice birthday presents, but also a osteopath appointment today because it's
that was one of his
birthday presents, because when we went to Glastonbury he had like a 5-minute one, and you know, the healing fields and stuff, and he was like, I feel incredible. And I was like, oh my god, you know, you're in your 30s when you're like, guess what, I've booked you an osteopath appointment.
And also, if he's basing that on a festival experience, that may have been not just the massage. Yes. That may have feel amazing.
Yeah, there could have been could other have been factors at else. Play there, I yeah. feel. I think I'm quite romantic. Sometimes not, obviously. Like, sometimes we're all slugs, aren't we? Yeah. But I like to think I put the effort in.
Okay, well, you've picked a very... I would consider, without giving anyway, because remember, Chantal still doesn't know. You guys don't know who the couple is, but would you do you think they're romantic in their own particular fashion?
I think so, definitely, yeah.
Well, so, Chantal, I can tell you and you that our couple, me and Alex's couple, got together in the golden year of 2005.
Okay.
2005, guys. Let me set the scene. It's the year the first video is uploaded to YouTube. Tom Cruise jumps for joy on Oprah's couch, and the world loses a Pope, Destiny's Child, and the Ashley Simpson Show.
Oh my God.
Destiny's Child. I know which
Ashley Simpson Show. That was heartbreaking. That first album is still up there. Okay.
So it was a pivotal year, a lot of losses, but also a lot of gains. Like this couple.
Like this couple.
Grab your Hunter wellies, guys.
Yeah.
They went from being a model couple.
Okay, I know it's not, because beforehand you already said Alexa and Alex. So I know it's not Alexa and Alex. I know you're all going there as well. Hunter, Rock, it's not that.
Yeah, okay, I forgot that you didn't know, and I was like, it was either the couple I picked or Alexa and Alex.
But she didn't tell me that. So now I know what we're on the wavelength.
Okay,
keep going. Go on.
They went from being a model couple to a real shambles, baby.
Nice. Oh, it's Kate Moss and Big Dockery. Yes. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I walked past them at Glastonbury doing that. Oh my God. No. Honestly, I was there. I witnessed the shorts and the boots. I was there.
Oh my God.
I was there. I'm literally part of this story.
You are.
Thank God I'm here tonight.
That's so weird. I now recognize you from all my research.
Oh yeah. I've been through a lot since then. Rehab and I'm fine now. Don't talk to Kate about it. But yeah. Oh, this is a big one.
Yeah. So why, before we get into the ins and outs of the relationship, what does this couple mean to you? Why do you?
Because she is alive? Yeah, yeah.
I feel like... I came of age in 2005. I was 17, and I feel like
Show
Kate.
Off.
And I feel like they were the archetypal. I feel like them getting together are sort of shaped. I mean, look at me dressed tonight. Okay.
For the podcast, let's talk through Alexandra's outfit, because
yeah. Oh, yeah,
I think
sorry.
We really had to. We've got a waistcoat situation.
It was an ode to her tonight as well.
Oh, a sonnet.
A sonnet, yes.
A sonnet. Jeans. You've got the little sort of like ankle length boots.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is very naughty. And I still sort of haven't got over this era. I run an indie night now called Indie Amnesty, where I basically just pretend to be Kate Moss 3 times a year. But it's no coincidence that I was obsessed with Kate Moss and Pete Doherty as I was 17, as I was discovering indie music, as I was like obsessed with the Libertines and obsessed with fashion as well. And I used to work in fashion. And so it was this kind of clashing of my two favorite worlds in this really unlikely thing. And you know, you feel like you're a rebel at 17. And I just love that everybody was, all adults were like, oh, what is she doing? And all the kids were like, yes! Rebel with that horrible boy. And it was just, it was like watching this beautiful swan be like, fuck you all, I'm not going to get with the people you think I should get with.
I'm going to get with Kate Moss instead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I've sort of essentially, I mean, I've always dated boys in bands ever since. And I just think maybe I'm just trying to be Kate.
She does have a lot of bad relationships too.
Yes. I can confirm that she's at fault
for a lot of us making some very bad decisions.
Yes.
I thought you meant Alexandra there for a second. I was like,
oh,
whoa.
I thought you did as well. And I was like, I really have. I wouldn't recommend the boy in band route, but I'm too far down the path now.
And so Chantal, you've just heard of this couple. When Kate and Pete pop into your head, what else do they bring with them?
First, the iconic Glastonbury picture. Then the iconic picture of her hanging out of the window with a cigarette and him playing the guitar, which was insane.
Yes.
The whole idea, that whole scene of all those bands. Remember, they'd always play on the tube. Remember the others? And the others, the Libertines, like, we're going to play on the tube. We're different. We don't play in, like, gig places. We just play wherever we want. We're just, like, musicians who can't help it. The interview, I mean, there's so much popping in. The interview with him before he became famous, when he's in the line for the other band.
For the Oasis.
The Oasis line. Yeah. He brings up that poet or something like that. Just the just everything about them. He was so, like, wrong and she was so right, and they were just, it was so perfect, them together. That her thigh gap, I could spend an hour just discussing her thigh gap and what that's done to all of us as women. It was, oh God, there's so much. And I haven't even gotten to the picture of her in the front of the sun doing some white powder. I mean, there's so much here.
The alleged drugs.
There's a lot of allegedly in this relationship.
Yeah,
except
definitely.
For their love, that was real.
I've just found out somebody has keyed our car, and etched into the side of the car is
star
sign. But what about their star signs? So I can tell you that Kate Moss, so that's the famous supermodel, obviously.
She's the 16th of January. She's 50 in January. Oh my God, can you imagine the bash?
Next January?
Yeah.
Oh, like 2.5 my
months. After
God.
This comes out, we'll be invited, obviously.
Now, yeah, that obviously, would be a silver jubilee I could get behind.
I know, exactly.
So Kate Moss, supermodel, was born 16th of January. She's a Capricorn queen. Any Capricorns in? Okay, then Pete Doherty, obviously musician and lead singer of the Libertines. 12th of March, he's Pisces.
Oh, that's really near my birthday.
Are you Pisces?
Yeah, on the 8th of March.
So this is what it would be like if you went out with Kate Moss.
Which will happen.
So Capricorn, Pisces, according to the star signs that govern us all, what percentage chance do you think a match like that has of working?
That's like me dating my sister. She's a Capricorn, and I don't think it would go very well. She's very practical. I am very in the clouds.
Okay.
But maybe they complement each other.
And also your sisters?
And also my sisters, yes. Sorry, I'm trying to think of personality types like my sister. I just want to clarify, I don't want to sleep with my sister. I'm going to say it can work because they're different.
Okay.
Percentage. I'll say 72.
72. Okay, very interesting, Chantal.
I'm going to mix it up as usual and say 24.
24. Okay, I'm going to confer with the audience. So give me a shout if you think it's on the lower end. No, one owl, that's it. Okay, give me a cheer if you think it's on the higher end. You romantics. You silly fools. Well, I can tell you, Capricorn, Kate, will offer their Pisces partner, Pete, stability, peace, and some rest from their emotional tornadoes. Now, listen, yous all don't believe in this.
Kanya, neither do we. No one does. That's why it's fun.
Capricorn, Kate, can help Pisces, Pete, be more realistic and practical while feeling more cheerful and optimistic themselves.
Oh. When has Kate Moss ever been cheerful and optimistic? Never ever.
When
her
she's
job
on
is
the
to
white
look moody.
Powder. So I've got loads of energy. Come on, let's go. Kate will be inspired to get into the world of Pete, and Pisces Pete will want to solve the equation inside their Capricorn partner. In time, their activities will separate as they realise that the things Capricorn Kate wants to do are boring to Pisces Peter, while the things Pisces Peter likes to do drive Capricorn Kate crazy.
Does anyone know what Grind is talking about anymore?
I feel I've like that is accurate.
Yes.
Yeah. Chances of it working, 76%.
Oh my God! Bingo!
I know my babies.
I mean, it does prove it wrong because they split up.
Yeah, sure, it was a car crash. Absolutely, but still.
Okay, so let's have a look at their emotional CVs before they meet.
Oh, let's.
So, Kate is a supermodel, guys. Oh. Don't know if you heard, but she grew up and nobody mentions this. In Croydon.
Yeah, they should talk about that more. Yeah.
That. And she was spotted in an airport.
She was
discovered in an airport.
At 14.
In JFK. Mm-hmm.
this is what always confuses me, because they make it sound like she was like this little street urchin, but she was discovered.
I thought that was
back.
Like you were in New York at 14 from Croydon, so you were already living a pretty cool life.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
She was in a relationship with the actor Johnny Depp and had a daughter, Lila Moss, with Dazed and Confused editor Jefferson Hack.
Yes.
So she cool, you know, hipster boyfriend. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she had the child with the sensible boyfriend. And like, she's still friends with him. He seems lovely. Like, Lila is a very successful model now as
and
well.
And Lily Allen like saw that and went, good idea.
Yeah, yes, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I feel like Pete was her sort of, do you know what? I've been a sensible mum for 2 or 3 years. Yeah. I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah. She definitely picked the right dad to like organise babysitting routines.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's no fool. Pete came from an army family and he moved around a lot as a child. He moved to London for his A-levels, and this is all true, got a job filling graves in Willesden Cemetery. Wow. But he said he used to spend most of his time reading and writing while sitting on gravestones.
Of course he did!
That is just the most indie sort of, you know, artistic boy thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, of course he did. He would have been in my pants like that with that line at the party.
Exactly.
Did you? Oh my God.
Oh my
you
God, we're going to the cemetery for a day.
How did they come undone?
He once put an ad, a singles ad, in Select magazine looking for a girlfriend.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Bless him. He was actually like very sweet before the old crack, I think.
He was.
It can happen.
He said another way he used to try and pick up girls was he used to sit under a tree reading Keats.
I feel like your only option is a supermodel, really, if you're doing that, isn't
he's
it?
He's perfect. He's great.
So prior to getting together with Kate, he had a relationship and a child with singer Lisa Moorish. And by the way, Lisa Moorish is also the same person who had a child with Liam Gallagher. Lisa Moorish, if you listen to this podcast, genuinely, I want you to do a TED talk.
Yeah. Literally uniting the two sort of phases of modern rock in the UK with two
Please come
half
on the
siblings.
Show. We have a lot to ask you.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you want an idea of what Pete's vibe was to live with from around this period, Lucy Barish, who is Carl Barrett's a little sister, she lived with him and Carl, and she said he'd put Noel Coward records on to get to sleep. Then we'd go to buy milk in the morning and he'd put a bowler hat on and buy the French newspaper Le Monde, even though he doesn't speak French.
I cannot express how much that was me around that time as well. God, I owned a bowler hat. I owned glasses, even though I don't need them now. Like, I had that sort of full on, oh God, I hate
myself. Smoked what are the cigarettes?
Galois. Yeah. I've never done that, but I probably just had a fake one. You know,
my boyfriend at the time did. You had to smoke Galois. Yeah. So expensive and they're really shit.
Yeah, I know.
So Kate and Pete actually met twice before they officially met for the first time. He once served her in a pub. And then, which is, it's just so mad. Like, he's,
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, he served her in a pub. He was working in McNasty's, I think it's called.
Oh, Filthy McNasty's, yeah, in Islington.
And
yeah.
She was hanging out, you know, with, you know, Shane McGowan,
yeah,
probably.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And he served her in a pub. And then he saw her, they chatted on the stairs at a celebrity party. And she said, oh, your little boy gets on with my little sister. And Pete didn't realise that she was friends with his child's mother and had no idea what she was talking about.
Pete wasn't aware of
that,
what's going on with that kid. Pete forgot he had that kid.
Yeah, But in 2005, our lovers meet. And it's when Kate invites Pete to perform at her 31st birthday party.
Yes.
So set the scene. She's 31. He's just turned 25. And he is, I think it's fair to say, at the very height of a rampant drug problem.
Yes.
It's all kicking off.
Lovely and spicy. The perfect time to have a big tabloid romance.
I think so. One of the most beautiful women in the world. He had already written a song about her called What Katie Did from the first Libertines album. And Carl Barrett said, when we were growing up, we all wanted to sleep with Kate Moss. Then you form a band and it becomes a possibility.
Yeah. True. It's true.
No better reason to form a band, I don't think.
So then the party ended up lasting the whole weekend. Pete arrived with a shoebox full of drugs.
This is great.
I mean, where else are you supposed to keep them? Yeah.
And he said, I had half the party trying to score crack off me and the other half trying to chase me out saying, what are you doing here? I remember thinking, wow, this is a bit me. Big country house with a pool and fancy carpets and strange artwork. And this girl I fell head over heels in love with. Kate was like, look, you may as well move in if we're going to be in love.
God, it's like something out of a film. Why won't they make the film of this?
And then around this time, Pete says to a reporter, it's been the best week in a long time.
just week.
I love that.
That's like, how his brain's working. It's week by week. Just
I
get
read this
week.
When I was like sort of refreshing myself on their love this week. I read that quote like, it's been a best week in a long time. As if like, you know, last week I paid my council tax off. That was great. This week I met and fell in love with one of the world's most famous women. And I, like, literally as if he's just like ticking it off. Like, what a great week. Shagged Kate Moss, you know?
I mean, what you can accuse Pete Doherty of many things. Playing it cool is not one.
No, but that's what I think he's was probably attractive about him.
Mm-mm. He was very open.
Yeah.
He continues, to this journalist, he's just basically, he's like, he probably doesn't even have Kate's number saved on his phone at this stage. He says, I think it will last. She's good for me because she has a beautiful soul. I think I can trust her. I believe her when she says she loves me. And I know I mean it when I say I love her.
Oh, he was so high, wasn't he? So high.
So this is how he describes their early days. So they used to just meet in a lot of back rooms of restaurants.
Yeah. I bet they did.
The secrecy made it horny, I think.
So what do you...
In a back room.
Yeah, just back rooms of pubs, just like, you know, just pretending they were normal.
So dingy.
And going on London buses as well, wasn't it?
He said she was always saying she was really just a girl from Croydon.
Oh, famous people love to be just a kid from their fucking hometown.
Who's been famous since she was 15.
A celebrity loves more than I'm just a little... No, you're not. You're not. You haven't been since you were 15 years old.
Yeah. Pete said that she usually travelled everywhere by limo, so he used to...
Just a kid from Croydon. Just a little girl.
So Pete insisted that she go on a bus with him.
Yes, and they went in disguise.
They went in disguise.
Imagine if a guy said to you for a date, should we go on a bus? You'd be like,
so
oh,
exotic.
No, it's one of those.
It's very like Roman holiday, but like the noughties update.
Yeah.
So instead of like, she's a princess in Rome, she's a model on a double-decker bus.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah.
So the first week of their relationship, Pete insists that they get matching tattoos.
Great idea.
Yeah, and I think until you read that and you're like, wow, what a whirlwind romance. Then he was like, I kind of insisted upon it. Looking back, it was a little bit toxic. And I'm like, yeah, because I think she got his initials or his name or something.
He insisted that she get a tattoo with his initials on.
Yeah, you know, there's keen and then there's like, I'm going to put you in a cage and own you forever. You
Yeah. Would anybody here get a tattoo one week in?
No. I'll live a little. Yes, I would. God damn it, why not? Come on.
So what was Kate seeing in all this? It's very obvious what Pete Doherty was attracted to. Well, according to...
Oh my God, yeah, it's a bit harsh. It's not bad.
Her trusting soul. We've already addressed that. Well, her friends say she thought he was like Byron or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we're all seeing him as this sort of like tortured traveling artist, singing boy. That's like, you know, the toast of the town.
Yeah.
And he's younger than her. He's quite a toy boy, 31 and 25. I think this was her sort of lost weekend. I think this was her like rebellion, you know?
Yeah.
She was a bit sort of like, Johnny Depp broke my heart. Took me ages to get over him. I've had the sensible kid with the nice man.
Yeah.
It's time to royally fuck things up.
Yeah.
I think Pete Doherty is who Johnny Depp thought he actually was as well.
Yeah.
Like, Johnny Depp pretended to be this kind of poet rock star guy. It was just a guy who sat in a makeup chair before work every day.
Yeah.
Never forget that. Whereas Pete Doherty...
And wanted to be in a band.
Pete Doherty was actually genuinely living the life that Johnny Depp was pretending he was living. And she said, oh God, I've actually found him. And was smarter and more fun.
Exactly.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble,
With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Well, so this is another quote from our friends from this period. They said, the fatal attraction for Kate, a woman who was always told she was beautiful, wonderful, and has everything, was that she could never completely control him.
Oh.
And then apparently she saw it as a tragic love affair and had in the back of her mind Courtney Love.
Oh.
I think that's the
I just
thing
remember what happened.
That's mad to think that she's living this thing that we're all talking about 15 years later, but she's still thinking like, oh, I'm that person.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're always going back.
Yeah, exactly. It's always nostalgia.
It's called Midnight
it?
In Paris. It's a film by Woody Allen. Anyways,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And I was like, a bit of a weird reference, but yeah. But you did it.
And then apparently Anita Pallenberg became a guide to Kate Moss and taught her the customs and conventions of being a rock and roll mistress.
I mean, she would know. She would know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they were really good friends for a long time.
So do you think there's something... Kate is so... She's at the top of her game. She's really rich. She's really successful. And yet it feels like she's drawn to this myth of being like, you know, the beautiful muse to the tragic rock star.
Yeah, I think so. And I think she's always talked about how she has wanted to... You know, she wanted to be in music, but she didn't have the talent. She would love to have been in a band in another life. And I think that... That's what you're sometimes when you're dating somebody like that, you're sort of like, well, I'm sort of in it without being in it. And then, of course, she kind of co-wrote a couple of songs with him for the Baby Shambles album. And, you know, at the time, I used to always watch those clips when he would like bring her out on stage to sing La Belle et la Bête for like 20 seconds. And she was obviously absolutely on the moon, off a tree. and you know, the crowd were going insane because it was just this couple that like everyone, they were almost in reach. You know, they were all out around North London and Camden and stuff like that. And everyone's got kind of almost like a real connection to them, but they're still as well, this kind of couple on high that are epitomizing that entire sort of noughties music, fashion, culture. You know, we were sort of having our Cool Britannia moment.
Yeah.
Like the sort of half a generation later.
They were our Patsy and Liam.
Yeah, essentially. And everyone was kind of like, oh my God, they're the sort of rock and roll couple. They're out of control. They're toxic. Let's all do it.
You know, I want to be just like them.
Yeah, exactly. They kind of made you want that all consuming. Because I think at the heart of it, it wasn't a PR stunt, like a lot of public relationships. I think you could tell that she was sort of wishing that she didn't love him in a way, but they were just obsessed with each other, I think. And I think that's what permeated through to the fans, you know? People were obsessed with them.
I got to say, I've never looked forward to the point in the podcast where Grainne says, so what's a night out with these two like? I can't wait.
Okay, so they get together in January. By February, Pete spends four nights in Pentafold Prison. Fit.
Just knocking him out of the park right from the start.
Yeah.
Great. Much to Pete's surprise, Kate does not bail him out.
No, teaching him a lesson.
What was he in prison for? Sorry, is it too long?
Robbery and blackmail.
It's not great, is it? You know,
we've all done it. Come on, we've all been young. Come on. So he gets out. He has to go to a detox clinic afterwards. Kate sneaks into the detox clinic disguised. Does anybody want to guess? Disguised as a Russian peasant.
I mean, this is like an episode of The Young Ones or something, isn't it? You know, like this is.
So she disguises as a Russian peasant with a blanket over her head.
Of course, a little scarf.
And gets her man out. She gets him out.
Why so did they let a Russian peasant in the clinic anyways? I think she had a better chance going, hi, I'm Kate Moss, can I come in? Oh, God, yes, of course.
Yeah.
That'd be way better than, I'm a Russian peasant, please do let me in.
Yes.
And they go, okay.
Where's Pete Doherty? Oh, Svetlana is taking him out, which seems fine. Don't worry about it.
So part of the condition that they date is he has to get clean. Kate's big thing, Pete said, was she hated feeling like people were like tricking her, getting one over on her. And her favorite expression was, don't take me for a cunt.
I love that.
It's great. It's great.
Which
I guarantee her idea of getting clean was still cocaine, but no heroin. Yeah. I guarantee that was her idea of clean.
She's a reasonable woman.
Yeah. Okay.
She's pragmatic. Yeah. She's for the Lib Dem of drug addiction. Yeah. So he gets the first of many anti-heroin implants.
Oh, so did he get one as far back as that?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know he's got one now, but I thought that was the first time he'd had it now, well, for the past 3 years.
It was like a real, he said it was the first type and it was like proper, like you injected underneath the skin and it was
a bit prototypey.
So Kate joins him at recording sessions. She sings on the album. Pete said that she used to, this is so mad, she used to, because she was an aspiring writer.
Yeah.
She loved music and she used to write her own lyrics and frame them and hang them up in her bedroom.
That's very cokey behaviour, I would say.
Like, you can guys, tell you've been told you're guys, amazing since yeah, you were yeah, age 15 when you're yeah, doing yeah, that. Yeah.
No, but fair, I think she was living out her rock star fantasy.
And then he was impressed by these lyrics that she'd framed and hung around her bedroom. And then he sure started he using them on the Baby Shambles album.
Of course he did.
But he would always give her coal. He wasn't stealing. He gave her coal. Your face.
No comment.
No quicker way to get the ride than use somebody's lyrics and be like, look, I've made a song out of your stuff. Yeah.
Yes, he's like, wait
honestly,
a minute.
I loved it. No, it was the best I've ever heard.
Was he looking at the picture frame going, oh my God, why have you framed this William Shakespeare quote? What? You yeah, wrote this?
Why?
I thought I read all the Keats under the tree.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then they say, so to give you a glimpse of what they were like in their quieter moments, this is from an interview with Kate from this period. Yesterday, in the pub, we were going through a Sunday magazine.
Always in the pub.
Yeah. So it's her and Peach. We're going through a Sunday magazine and playing a game of, oh, that's me.
Really? Oh, that's not cool. Come on, Kate.
Because Peach will go, is that you at any model in a magazine? And I'm like, no, she's Chinese.
They're just, they're so high, guys.
Yeah,
they're,
I know.
So much drugs they're on.
I wonder if they actually remember going out with each other now. Like,
what happened next? I don't know.
Okay, and then, is she? No, she's Chinese. Is that you? No, she's 12.
Oh, Pete.
And then she says, it's quite funny.
She's like, it's quite funny.
So I think it's at this time I want us to take us all on a little thought journey.
Okay.
So we're going through, ooh, and it is 2006. You're already dressed for a night out.
I am.
You have fit right in. You get, it's your flip phone's going.
Oh, God. Beep, beep, beep. The Motorola Razr.
That's out. It. Oh, my babes, it's me. I'm Gay Moss.
She's also in Steptoe and Son at this point. This is her moonlighting.
She's from Croydon, not 1936.
Yeah. All right, Gaffer. What, Alex? Me and Pete are heading for a night on the town.
Yes.
You three, you want to come around, babes?
I absolutely would. Thank you, Kate. This is my dream, even though I'm 18 and I've only just started drinking.
So take us through a night out with Kate and Pete.
I feel like they would have pre-drinks at theirs, mm-hmm, and it would be absolute
chaos.
It'd be
more than pre-drinks, my friend.
You know, yeah, yeah. I think they'd have been on it from lunchtime, and you get round, but they're trying to deny it. You know, you're like, have you guys had a couple? And they're like, no. And then you're like, you guys don't have proper jobs. And I think it'd be that sort of thing. You know, that sort of vibe where you unexpectedly have people back for an afters, and so all the drink combinations you can offer them are sort of like, you know, Cinzano and Lucozade. You know, that kind of thing. And they're just like, no, have one of these. Have one of these, it'd be brilliant. You know, like port and milk. And you're like, oh, brilliant, amazing. That sounds great. I think you'd have a few there. And I think you'd go out to sort of the best pubs in North London. You'd probably start off in like Highgate. Mm. I used to work in a pub in Highgate and she was always kind of around. But I think she's on the wagon now, so she wasn't in the pub. And I think you start out in quite nice ones and you'd be sort of surrounded by the sort of literati of London. And sort of artists and musicians, and then you basically essentially you'd go sort of down Archway Road into Camden and it would descend into sort of chaos pub by pub.
Loitering, festering.
What do you imagine like their dynamic was as a couple? Like how do you imagine they were together?
I feel like they would be
you'd have a lovely time for the first like 2 hours. They'd be telling you amazing stories. Kate would be talking about the 90s. You'd be learning about fashion. He'd be telling you about bands and music, and it'd be incredible. They'd be buying you drinks. And then about 2 hours in, I feel like they'd be sort of snogging each other's faces off. And then 2.5 hours in, you'd be the sort of mediator in a blazing row.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think you'd probably go and have to meet a guy outside for a bit for them.
Yep.
So they didn't get papped. And then I think you'd probably have a lovely time from about 11:30 till 6 a.m.
Oh, you'd have a great time.
Yeah. But even years later, you'd be like, don't know what happened to this day. You just sort of maybe you'd wake up in sort of a random North London mansion. Maybe George Michael's there. And you know, you're just sort of like, well, I guess that was good. And you never hear from them again. You know, like the perfect one night stand. You know, it happens somewhere weird. It's great. But you never see them again.
And do you think, Kate, is she a girl's girl? Are you chatting quite a bit, or is...
Yeah, I think so. I think if it was... I've heard stories of bad behaviour, but, you know, she was, like, 23, 24. Yeah, I think she'd be really, really friendly to you. I don't think she'd be, like, thinking you were after him or anything. Maybe until the sort of paranoia kicked in.
Yeah. And, Peach, who do you see, like, doing most of the talking? Who do you think has the power in the relationship?
Do you know, I think almost why they worked is because they both thought the other one had the power. Mm. I think he's quite a quiet guy, but I mean, after, you know, a couple of shandies and a big old blob of smack, I imagine he's quite talkative and comes out of his shell a bit. So I think by the peak of the night, it would be both of them. But I think she would be friendlier earlier on. I think he'd be a bit, he's quite shy,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
And reserved.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well... as obsessed as we are with them now as a couple, that ain't nothing compared to how obsessed the tabloids were.
Oh, God, yeah.
And just
insane.
The media in general. People really, people forget how seriously people took Pete Doherty.
I never forget, for starters.
So this was from an article in Vanity Fair from this period, a whole piece on Pete Doherty. And the writer says, Pete's whole life is as a romantic rebel. It's all about dreams. Reality can be too harsh for him.
God love him. He's just a little poet under a tree.
So not all the press coverage was positive, because obviously September 2005, the Daily Mail has the splash, high as a Kate. Mm-hmm. And that's Kate Moss, a picture of her allegedly using cocaine at the recording studio with Pete.
She looked great.
She looked amazing.
Never looked better. I still remember the position.
She's like this. And she had so the boots good. On.
And I always remember that the way she was sat like that. And doing, I was like, how is she even doing it so well? Like, Bendy, she looked incredible. It was like, it looked, I was like, you are a model.
Yeah, she's even
really
in like,
good in pictures.
Even in a grainy recording studio.
You look great in pictures.
Yeah.
But she was annoyed because she thought that Pete had been the one who leaked the pictures to the press. She lost loads of contracts. She has to go to rehab and then pretends to dump him.
We've all been there, haven't we? You know, when your mates are like, have you dumped him? And you're like, yes.
It was, by the way, not to be that girl, but it was, looking back. And at the time, I thought this pretty sexist that she lost so many contracts.
Yeah.
Whereas he was in and out of rehab, and that record label never once said, we're going to drop you. Whereas all the fashion industry, who all of a sudden, they never do cocaine. What's that? Who knows? Yeah. That was suddenly now an issue.
And everybody actually sort of in the fashion industry was really supportive. Like Alexander McQueen famously came out with a T-shirt that said, we love you,
Kate. Well, of course, Alexander did, obviously.
Yeah, and I think even the labels didn't really care. But again, there's this whole sort of paradox of like, they have to be seen to be caring. But yeah, it was that crazy time. You know, people like, you know, Sun journalists, feigning sort of you know, disbelief. Oh my God, I hate the Sun, don't buy the Sun. And it was actually the Mirror that had the splash, but the Sun jumped on.
It's culture, yeah. It's a culture. Red tabloid culture.
Yeah.
So she goes to rehab, and then when she goes out, then it's, and I don't know why they did it as a relay, but it was like, I'll go to rehab, then when I come out, you go to rehab.
Yeah, that was weird. Maybe just to pretend that they weren't in there together. Like, no Russian peasants this time.
So he heads off to rehab, but there's a few problems even on the way. So driving to the airport, he starts smoking a crack pipe.
As you do. One last hit.
One last little hit. And then a police officer, he passes out on the side of the road, and a police officer taps him on the window and goes, hi, Pete, are you on the way to rehab?
Which I feel like Pete Doherty, you know, one of the biggest rock stars of the time, in a very public sort of tabloid scandal with Kate, who's just been into rehab and he's on his way.
who's letting him go on his own? You know, like who's being like, yeah, you pop in the Jag. I won't search you. You just drive yourself to the airport. What could go wrong?
You'll sort it at long-term parking. It'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be all right, you know.
So he finally gets to rehab in America, but then there are other problems. 2 weeks in, Kate was supposed to come and visit him and take him to the Grand Canyon in a helicopter.
As you do.
It sounds like a dream he had.
Yeah.
Then he gets the hump when she doesn't show up. So in order to get back at her, he does a runner from rehab.
Oh, okay.
Then Kate finds out he hasn't finished the treatment. She tells him, right, there's no way we can see each other now. And he said, yeah, but you were supposed to come and get me in a helicopter for a day trip to the Grand Canyon.
They were a lot cooler when they were in London, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
They've gotten really lame in America.
This is why people don't go to America. Like, yeah, they're instantly, like, so much less cool. But I also feel like it strikes me as she was just putting her coat on to go to fly to America and her mates were like, you're not taking him in that helicopter to the Grand Canyon, are you? You promised you wouldn't. You said you'd split up with him. And she was like, no, of course I'm not going. Like, and just sits back down and she's trying to, you're not texting him to tell him, no, I'm not. And he's just waiting there, you know, with his coat on for the day trip. And her mates are like, lock the door.
She's ripping up the voucher.
Yeah. She's calling Carlos, the driver. We won't be coming. We won't be coming. Cancel the helicopter.
Trying to have Groupon does returns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so even though they broke, what happens? They bloody get back together.
Of course
again.
They do.
They're in love. So they start having clandestine meetings again.
Nice.
And what would happen is Kate's hairdresser would ring up Pete. He would call from a certain payphone using a code word. And then Pete would go meet Kate in a flat in Pimlico.
I know. It's just so weird, isn't it? Like this weird random flat. I would love it if it was just like somebody that was like a friend of a friend owned it. And they had a lovely date around that night or something. And then just like Kate Moss and Pete Doherty just sort of stumble in. And you're like, yeah, sorry, my manager's using it so they can fuck here. It's fine. As you were saying.
So now we're going to enter into the montage section because time is speeding up. They were a busy couple for the amount of time that they were actually together.
They were only actually together for, it was less than 2 years.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it's like a huge milestone of culture. And
it's like a TARDIS relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
A heroiny TARDIS. You open up the TARDIS doors, it's Pete Doherty like that. Yeah. Passed out. Okay, 2007, they get kicked out of the NME Awards after they were caught in the toilets together.
Oh, it's so 2007, isn't it? It's so indie sleaze. Shagging in the toilets at NME Awards.
And what I love is they got kicked out, but not before Kate could pick up her Sexiest Woman Alive award.
Of course.
Priorities.
If anything's going to turn you on, it's your girlfriend picking that award up, you know?
I mean,
must have you in a cupboard now.
That will give you a bit of leverage,
yeah.
I'd like to think. Oh, be mean to me, the sexiest woman alive. At one time, he's sitting... Okay, this all is real. It's from his book. He was sitting in a hot tub on Sadie Frost's yacht.
As you do.
In Cannes.
Yeah.
Listening to a remix of a Baby Shambles song.
Ooh, that just ruined it.
I know, that's a nick,
so
isn't
well.
It? Yeah.
And he didn't like the remix, so he was in a really bad mood. So then he did, allegedly, crack in the boiler room of the yacht and got kicked out.
Crack in the boiler room of the yacht sounds like a track, so he would write, you know.
He returns to Hackney and Kate has to come rescue him in her limousine.
Just a girl from Croydon.
It's just constantly high end and low end, isn't it? It's just like, you know, crack on a yacht. Yeah. Have to come and rescue you in Hackney in a limo.
Also around this time, they're in Ibiza. They get lost on the way to a fashion party after Pete accidentally drives their car off a cliff.
Oh, what? God. I did not know this. As you do, you know.
It's just become a bit like a cartoon.
I know. Jefferson Hack, meanwhile, is just at home with Lila Grace Moss, their child, being like, no, Kate, please, God. Like, he's just sat there watching Adam Deck Saturday Night Takeaway while she's in this kind of whirlwind of culture that's going to stay with us 20-odd years.
Poor Jefferson.
I know.
Please get her cheekbones. Please at least get her cheekbones. Yeah. Make this worth it. Yeah.
then around this period, just after he drove her off the cliff in a car on the way to a fashion party, they get engaged.
Why not?
Of course, of course.
Nothing makes you think about the futility of life more than nearly dying.
Have they already been to Glastonbury at this point?
Yes. So on a way,
I know we're running on time, but Glastonbury was iconic. Anyways, go on.
So,
a massive deal.
I meant, that was a whole different subheading. That's why I missed it. Glastonbury. So Kate insists on being driven in a blacked out people carrier straight to the VIP area of the festival. Then when they get there, after he performs, they put on disguises and head out into the crowd.
I knew I saw a Russian that year.
So what was it like seeing them?
It was amazing. With everything you thought it could be and more. Yeah. It was incredible. She looked amazing. It was almost like it happened. I was like, that was fucking Kate Moss. That was, and my boyfriend, I was like, no, it wasn't. I was like, yes, it fucking was. And I was like, that's why we broke up. But I was like, that was Kate Moss. That was Kate Moss and that was Pete Docherty. And they were kind of like, they weren't even in like the VIP section, which I also went to that year, by the way. I'm really cool. But it wasn't even there. They were in the regular field bit, regular like campsite bit. And they were just walking by with her in her little shorts and her fucking the boots on up to here, the Wellingtons, and him looking rad. And I was like, that was them. And everyone I could see, like if you looked behind, everyone was doing just what I did, going, oh wait, that was that? It was just watching to see if people get whiplash turning their heads back at them. Yeah. It was amazing.
Like
it was
aura.
The greatest time. I'll never, when I die and I go through things flash in of my life, that will be one of them.
Yeah.
100%.
And then I think the one that's quite famous as well with her in the PVC trousers and the boots, that was the last time they were ever sort of pictured.
But I
publicly
thought that was a really weird time for her to wear that as well, because the weather that year was awful.
Yeah.
And the PVC trousers, it would have been
and
a real like, sticky
boots.
Situation.
But yeah. I think that was them kind of on the way out, so why not go out in style?
The PVC trousers were the sign.
Yes, that's when you know.
When it's wiped clean.
Squeaking away.
Yeah. So they get engaged.
Yes.
They got engaged,
course.
Guys. Kate organizes a meeting in her house with Pete and her local vicar.
Sure.
The vicar warns...
They're deeply religious.
the vicar warns Kate in front of Pete that marrying him might not be a good idea. Pete is offended and throws the vicar out.
Are we sure it wasn't just Carl Barat disguised as a vicar?
I mean, this whole 2.5 years could just be a dream sequence.
Yes,
in Pete
it really said. Could.
And it would make sense. Then January of that year, during a holiday in Thailand, they have a quasi-religious wedding ceremony on a beach, which saw them wrap snakes around each other's necks. Do you know who was there for that wedding ceremony on the beach?
No. Are you ready for this?
It's going to be somebody like Les Dennis or someone insane. Sarah Ferguson.
No!
What? She's always where you least expect her.
What the hell?
She was just there.
You can always count on Fergie.
When two people are there in love, Sarah Ferguson.
Sarah Ferguson. Yes.
Once again, Sarah, if you're listening, please get in touch. We have a lot of questions.
Yeah, Jesus. No one's done her and Andrew, I'm taking it, on this podcast.
But unfortunately, after the ceremony, him and Kate get into a row because he wants to buy a cheap Thai suit. She doesn't want him to, so he responds.
This is what it would be like on the night out with them. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're literally getting married and in love with snakes.
They did not get married.
And then they're having a row about a suit.
Kate and Pete got high in a beach once. That's what happened. Yeah. They did not get married.
Yeah.
So then he goes on a drugs binge with some backpackers.
As you do.
Kate comes to bail him out of the police station. He's so out of it, he calls Kate a prick and does a flying kick at her.
What?
Calling a woman a prick is underrated. Yeah. it's very rare, but I like it.
Then he runs down a motorway, and the next thing he remembers is waking up in Heathrow in a pair of Thai policeman's shorts.
Been there.
This is like
amongst us.
This is like an AI-generated night out. Does. You know, every word you're like Sarah Ferguson, Thai Heathrow. What? Like.
And then also around this time, Kate introduces him to Shane McGowan for the first time.
Which, oh, that's
what,
who he needs
to
meet.
What an inspired choice.
That'll straighten him right out.
Yeah, just to keep him on the straight and narrow.
And he says, so him and Shane go for a drink. And Shane keeps going on about how much he really loved Johnny Depp.
Oh.
And he kept saying him and Kate were amazing together. I love Johnny Depp. And this is, I promise you, this is true. I just listened to it on the audiobook this morning. Apparently Shane McGowan kept saying, Johnny Depp is brilliant. He knows so much about the Bay of Pigs.
This just keeps getting weirder. Shit. And then it's going to end with like, and they said that on the moon.
And he barely kept saying it as a real, like, listen, of course he's better for Kate. He knows loads about the Bay of Pigs.
The Bay of Pigs, obviously. Yeah. That's one of those things where you'd be like, why do I care about that? And then he went home and was like Googling Bay of Pigs. Like, I will fucking trounce Johnny Depp if there's ever a pub quiz question on the Bay of Pigs.
Fuck that guy.
Kennedy's response was appropriate, I think you're fine. Yeah.
Do you reckon a couple of years ago, when, like last year when the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial was just happening, Pete was just sat at home like... Can
well,
the Bay of Pigs
how
save
the
you
mighty
now?
Have fallen. Yeah.
Looks like you're in your own Cold War.
Yes, very nice.
Thank you. You can use that, Pete. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Also around this time, he goes to the Isle of Wight for the festival. Keith Richards takes him to one side to give him advice.
If Keith Richards is telling you to slow down.
And his advice is, don't let a woman tell you what to do.
Oh, Keith! I thought he was going to be like, look, you've got a good thing here. Just chill out. No, he's like, fuck it up more.
Pete wants to go into the mosh pit. Kate wants to just stay beside the stage. He gets into a huff.
Wait, is this a real argument?
It's a real argument.
At this point, you're like, this is breaking down, you know?
Then he shoots up and wakes up in the ferry on the way back to the mainland.
It's like he's just teleporting out of any situation by doing drugs, is it? He's just like, oh, I think I just want to be on my way home now. 2 days later, here we are. It'd be great if we could all do that, mostly at Christmas with the family, you know, just like just shooting up, finding a vein on Christmas Eve and then just waking up on Boxing Day like, oh, I don't remember all the arguments. Great. Incredible.
So this is very much breakup montage in the Glastonbury 2007 of the PVC yes. trousers. He gets into a row with Stella McCartney's husband and has them chucked out of his caravan.
Yes, I've heard this story. Yeah.
Imagine what his caravan smelled like.
Just oh, I know.
Then he accidentally presses the panic button that Kate has had installed in her St. John's Wood house when he's looking for drugs.
Yeah.
And 12 armed policemen burst into his bedroom.
You know when you've got that boyfriend that you have to keep making excuses for? She's just doing it to more and more people and then eventually famous people and then eventually like members of public services. And she has to be like, no, this has got to end. Like,
so do you want to know what was the thing that finally, according to Pete, was the step too far for him?
I know this. She set fire to his favourite teddy.
That's true.
That he'd had since childhood.
I'm on Pete's side, surprisingly.
Read that and think, that is so fucking harsh. Because he was an army kid. He probably, that was like, I think that was kind of like an emblem of stability for him.
Someone messing up when they're on drugs, well, yeah, it's the drugs.
Yeah.
But if you're setting fire to someone's childhood, that's evil.
Yeah.
That is evil. That's horrible. I'm Team Pete. Who knew?
I know. After all this, you're like, fuck her.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So 2007, they finally split.
Yes.
It's done. Guys, this feels like we went through like the Lord of the Rings.
I know.
And we could do more.
I could talk
in
this
a rush.
For 3 hours.
We could do more. We have to. This is
amazing. So what, okay, listen, they did really like each other. They're both creative. Why do you think they couldn't make it work?
I think in the end it was probably about wanting kids. No, I think it was... I think, do you know what? As much as I love them, they're one of those couples where they were never meant to be together forever. They were meant to be this thing that we look back on and think, thank God they never got into domesticity and you're not now seeing them on The One Show talking about their range of creams or dog products. You know, like, I want them to be this untouchable, crazy, maniacal love for 2 years, minus maybe the waking up on various modes of transport after doing smack. But like, you want them to be that thing in your head.
Yeah.
You know, so I think eventually she was like, do you know what? My daughter's 4 now. I probably should get with Jamie Hintz from The
exactly.
Kills, who seems like a nice man.
Yeah.
And that's what she did.
They needed to do this smart. They never really hurt anyone aside from themselves.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They just kind of got together, did lots of drugs for 2 years. Yeah. And then they just followed the same track as Marianne, as Mick, as Nancy.
Yeah.
And they just did this. Well, actually, no, Nancy and him did. that's that one ended quite poorly. Yeah. But they did kind of just follow that track of, they can't, once it gets past 2-3 years, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah. I think it's just, they need to sort of look fondly back on each other a bit and just, but never the twain shall meet again.
So, second question.
Yes.
And really what this whole podcast is about, we're not just pruriently looking into the wrecked dreams. We're trying to learn something. We're trying to decide, you know.
This is meant to be an educational podcast. Yeah, I don't know why it's called comedy. Yeah. It's kind of insulting.
So in the great split between Kate Moss and Pete Doherty.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be honest. Everybody's doing well and blah, 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 but every split has a winner and a loser. So in the great split between Pete Doherty and Kate Moss, who thrived and who simply, he survived. Or she.
I think it's quite obvious. Although he's now doing very well. But I think for a long, long time, he was just
really
about surviving.
Well in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's eating really well.
He's okay now. But yeah, for a long, long time, she was definitely thriving and he was surviving.
So are you saying Kate won the split?
I think so.
Do we agree?
Yes.
I'm going to put a vote in for Pete because I think Pete's done better than we all thought he would do.
Definitely.
I'll be honest, I'm surprised Pete's actually leveled out. Libertines are getting back together again.
Yeah.
They've been interviewed recently. He's living in France. Yeah. They all love it there. He's got a wife and a kid.
He's doing well. At their hotel in Margate. It's great. It's lovely.
I'm just saying, he's doing all right considering where he could be.
He's doing okay.
Yeah. And so we have one final question.
We do. We have one final question. As you all know, the mascot, should it be, the patron saint of our podcast, and we ask every guest this, to think of someone out there to be with her, because we feel like she's had several men in her life, but none of them have quite got up to her level. So we're asking you to put your thinking cap on, okay, Alex, and can you think of someone who can match up with, who can be with, who can love the one, the only Cher?
Ooh, Bill Nighy.
Done. Oh! Quick. That's my kind of answer. You just go with your gut and you go in.
Talk us through.
I think we've had Bill Nighy.
I don't think we've had.
That's so good. I love it.
The right Bill Nighy always seem obvious.
Is the coolest man in the world. He's currently with Anna Wintour. And yeah, I just feel like she's not fun enough.
I totally agree. Imagine going from Anna Wintour with her fucking haircut. Let it grow for a second, Anna. See what happens.
Just relax.
Jesus.
I think he's fun. I think he's cool. I think he's sophisticated. I think they would both be strong personalities. He would let her thrive. He's not possessive. Also, he's always, or was before he was dating Anna, he used to always be in Soho. And one time I got out of a cab years ago, like a black cab before Uber was a thing. And I saw kind of someone out the corner of my eye, like running for the cab. And I went, oh, hang on, there's someone here getting the cab. And it was Bill Nighy. And he got into the cab and then he drove off. And then he leant out the window, looked out at me and went,
oh!
Okay, that's like, why you chose Bill. That was telling the story.
You, Bill.
That's why you chose him.
I just think he's a phenomenal ride and would keep Cher happy.
I love the idea of her saying, Bill. That's like the way she would say it.
Yeah.
It could be fun. Bill. I like that. Reason enough for me.
And he'd just be there like, yes, I do believe in life after love, I guess. You know, like,
what a ridiculous question.
Thank you so much,
Alex.
Brilliant guest. Brilliant couple.
Thank you.
Brilliant Alex. Round of applause.
Thank you very much. Before we release you into a night, where can our listeners and our lovely friends of the podcast, when can we find you?
Find me on Instagram at Alexandra Haddo. I'm doing my first little mini tour next year of my debut hour, which is called Not My Finest Hour. It's got a lot of Kate and Pete themes, actually. come to the indie night as well. You might see Pete Doherty in Margate. We do it at his hotel. So both those things, come to them. Come and see me on tour. Follow me, whatever. That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Round of applause for Alex.
Thank you. Thanks.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com.
Or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod, and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening.
Until the next time,
goodbye!
Goodbye! The way they were.